So this week we'd like to dedicate Falkirk Draft to Ewan Anderson, who was taken too soon a couple of weeks ago. We of course celebrated his passing at Stadium on Saturday there with an applause on the 25th minute as he passed away at the age of 25.
So, Ewan, this show's for you, the family, and your friends. Once a bairn, always a bairn. Absolutely.
McAllister still going strongly in the closing minutes. Great run by Kevin McAllister! What a goal that is! Delivery's good, there's Hagen. Now McGrath, he scored!
It's Stokes on a hat-trick! Goal number three for Anthony Stokes.
Austin saw off Robertson and delivered! Siddle scores! That's the goal! That's the moment! Samuel off and running again. Is it going to be the hat trick? You know it is.
This is Falkirk Daft.
So welcome to the second episode of Falkirk Daft. It is your unofficial podcast dedicated to everything Falkirk FC. This week, we're going to look back at that 0-0 draw against Montrose. We're going to be looking ahead to the Airdrie game on Saturday and asking this question: what do we still need in that squad? Hello there, I am John McInally, and joining me on the show, it is the ginger god of pod himself, Mr. Ross Wayne.
Cheers, John. Thank you. Yeah, it was a frustrating game on Saturday. I know we're going to talk about it, but lots of ball retention, a few chances, but yeah. just that final third, wasn't it?
Still beeling. Listen, I've got to say a big thank you to everyone that downloaded, listened to, watched it on YouTube. The first episode last week, we didn't know how it was going to go. We thought it'd be one man and his dog, maybe our mom, maybe our auntie, maybe a couple of cousins, you know, that we might listen to this podcast. But it turns out quite a few people listened to it. We had over 1,000 people either listening to it or watching it on YouTube. So thank you, one and all you Falkirk supporters, for watching, listening. And Ross, it's absolutely amazed me. For Falkirk supporters, we've not had one complaint yet.
Not yet, but listen, we're one episode in. This is like the first game of the season. We've started okay, but we just need to keep it going now.
So you're saying episode one is basically the Hibs game, and then like the episode two potentially is the 0-0 draw against Montrose?
Possibly, or that, right. the 0-0 against Bonnyrigg. So we'll try for the stars though.
Well, aim for the stars. So thank you very much to everyone that got in touch with the podcast. Something that seemed to touch a kind of note with everyone, however, we were talking about ginger Falkirk players because, Ross, obviously, you being a ginge, your favourite players were Sam McGivern, Hoostie growing up. And we said, oh, we've not had that many ginger players. So everyone's kind of reached out with us and given us a few. So Paul says Scott Shepherd.
I know. How did we forget? He's probably one of the most recent ones.
The most ginger person's ever played for Falkirk.
He was very ginger, wasn't he? He was very
extremely ginger.
Yeah, I think he's at his fife now. Yeah, I had a quick look. He's at his fife, so
right.
He's still playing, which is
still kicking a ball.
Yeah,
good on you, Scotty. Good on you, Scotty. Martin says Stephen Watson, another ginger bairn, though easily forgotten. Do you remember him?
I do. I think that was late 90s, early noughties. In fact, early noughties, was he not part of the sort of relegation team that Taunton had?
Was he?
That was saved by Airdrie, obviously.
Oh, well, we'll get into that. I'm sure they'll be delighted when we speak to the guys from the Airdrie podcast a bit later on if we remind them about that.
Remind me to bring up the 8-0 game where they walked to the game as well. So that
and remind me to thank them for being going into liquidation that year as well. Sandy, Dean Holden's a good shout. Was he ginger?
Ooh, I thought he was more blonde. He might have had a ginger beard, but I think he was maybe more blonde. I'm sure Dean will get in touch to kind of clarify that.
Yeah, Baz has got a list for us here, right? And I can't believe I've forgotten the names that are on this list. Liam Craig, obviously.
Yep, definitely, yep. Mm-hmm.
Mo Johnston?
Obviously, yeah.
Yep. Of course, Mo. Derek McWilliams. Now, Derek McWilliams, does he...
Ooh, he was brownie ginger. We'll give him the benefit of the doubt. Maybe a ginger beard again, yeah.
Right. And finally, Lee Bullen, of course.
Yeah, he was kind of heading to the grey, blondie grey stage when he was at Falkirk, didn't he? But he was proper ginger with the pars, so An easy one to forget.
Can I add another name for the goalkeeper? Because we're getting there. We're almost got an 11 together. Scott Higgins. Remember Scott Higgins?
Well, of course he was. Flapper. Was he not? Yeah, Flapper. He was definitely on the ginger side. You're right. I don't think there's any other keepers that I can think of.
He was murder.
In recent times, but he was murder. No. Him and what was his name? Scott Flinders.
Were they not both the same season as well?
Possibly, but then we cranked it up a notch with Schmeichel and then Tim Krul.
We did all right after that. However, one name that isn't getting added to the Ginger 11 is Finn Yeats, and I'll tell you why. We're talking about Finn Yeats and saying, oh, maybe he's a ginger. He actually reached out to us. He's like, thank you for listening, Finn. He got in touch with us via DM on Twitter. He says, great podcast, gents. Thanks for the comments. However, unfortunately, I am not a ginger. So there you go. We've clarified right now. Yeah. Finn Yeats is not a ginger. So just to clarify.
That was one of the most surreal moments on Friday night. Sitting chilling, looking forward to the game, looking forward to the day out with you, yourself and the guys. And then wee Yatesy pops up in the DMs. Guys, great show, but I'm not a ginger.
I've got to put out a shout out. I reckon we're very popular in the Yates household because I reckon his ma has just followed us on Twitter. You can do that likewise by going to Falkirk Daft on Twitter. Lee Yates has started following us on Twitter. Now, it looks like it could be his ma because I went into the profile. I'm sorry, it sounds like I'm stalking Finn Yates' ma now, but I went into her profile and everything just retweeted has always been Yates related. So I just want to confirm if Finn, you listen to this week's show, is that your ma on Twitter? I'm just asking the question.
We better promise them that you're not going to DM.
No, I'm not stalking your mom. I'm just intrigued. So hopefully, very popular in the Yeats household. Maybe start a new feature, keeping up with the Yeatsies or something like that.
I like it.
Right, couple of bits of news this week before we get into the Montrose game. A couple of youths signing up. Lennon Walker, who was part of Dundee United Academy, has just signed a deal. He's a local lad who came out of the performance school up at Graham High there, and he's been put out on loan to Bone S for the season. And Scott Honeyman, who we got from Gaerdirk, has just signed a one-year extension there, and he will go out on loan to East Stirlingshire. So great to see young players starting to come back into the club, Ross.
100%. It was an absolute disgrace that we've not had an academy for nearly four or five years. An absolute shocking decision. We could probably use worse words, to be honest, but an absolute disgrace decision that we've not had that. And for the fact that a lot of these young players are then going to teams smaller than us, similar size to us, we've lost out on these guys. And hopefully this is the start of a brighter future with kids wearing the strap. And do you know, the community does really well, the foundation really do really well to have loads of kids playing.
Yeah,
but we need to see it on the park eventually.
We need to start feeding them. There needs to be a system. You know, my mate's wee boy is at the Performance Academy up at Graham High, and it amazes me, in his year group, not one of them signed for Falkirk. St Johnstone, St Mirren, Hamilton, and not one of them is signed up for Falkirk, which is 5 minutes from the stadium. You know, and you just hope there starts to become a route into the first team from there, like we used to have and where we got a lot of success financially from. I guess one guy that's going to help that is just announced this week is Tony Begg, who's been appointed head of youth development at the club. He left Hibs to come and join us. He managed Penicuik FC before going to the academy at Hibs. He seemed to do really well. He's just come off the back of winning the Foyle Cup in Northern Ireland, and he's going to be working with the team's current youth coaches to provide support and guidance for the development squads and working with the club's young players and first team coaching staff to develop pathways into the first team. That's a start, isn't it?
I think that's great. He's obviously got a real good pedigree. We've stolen him off Hibs, which is nice as well.
Delightful.
Yeah, exactly. If it's not Hearts, Hibs will do. And do you know what? Hibs are renowned for having a really good youth system. So I'm really, really chuffed with that appointment.
Yeah, and you wrote a wee song about him. Now, I didn't know. If you've been checking out our Twitter, Ross put up a song about Tony Begg, and I thought, why is he? He's singing songs about the youth coach now. I mean, he's. Yeah. I know. Like, you're a Falkirk supporter, Ross, but when you start singing songs about the youth coaches in the stand, things are, you know.
No, I better clarify. So he's obviously got an interesting name. His name's Tony Begg. And for the Still Game fans that are amongst us, there was a famous episode centred around someone called Mrs. Begg, who was a cleaner who who doubted, as the song goes, Winston's dodgy leg. I'm not going to sing it. However, if we can get, let's set a target. If we can get 1,500 people watching this episode, next episode, I will sing the Tony Begg song.
There you go. Tony Begg, and they'll be singing it in the South Stands the week after, I'm sure.
Well, that would be good, although I'm not sure Tony Begg would be up for that, but it takes all sorts.
All right, okay. So that's what's going on at the stadium at the moment. What's going on here? We're about to talk about the Montrose game, and every week we like to welcome a guest pundit onto the podcast because you just get bored of hearing me and Ross all the time wittering on. So we'd like to welcome this week a well-kent face from around the stadium, and he's a patron to boot, so we'll find out a bit more about that. Welcome to Falkirk Daft, it's Gordon Proffitt.
Hi, Gordon. How are we?
Good, man. Different class.
Right, Gordon, before we get into it, we're going to ask every one of our guest pundits a couple of questions. So, what's your Falkirk story? What's your kind of first Falkirk memory?
Probably going on my dad's shoulders at Brottle. I just remember walking in the Hope Street end and thinking, this place is enormous. It's huge. It was packed. It was quite a sunny day. Now, it's obviously been that sometime in the late 60s. I couldn't tell the team or whoever it was, but that's my first memory of Brottle.
Who was your favourite player growing up, Gordon?
Yeah, Jordy Gibson.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Jordy Gibson. Steve, again, before our time, we said last week it'd be between three, but I'm glad that everyone's kind of surprising us with some of their picks.
Jordy Gibson's a kid, die. Jordy Gibson's a kid, eh? But I think obviously there's the three amigos as we've got older, eh? There's Stainer, Crunchy, and Latapi, eh? So it's hard to go past them either.
Yeah, and what is your favourite Falkirk game, Gordon?
Probably the semi-final, I think, 97.
Celtic.
Yeah. I was 34, something, 35 at the time, and had never seen us at anywhere near a cup final, and those last 20 minutes were just horrible. I just remember looking at my feet and expecting the roar. You know, expecting that roar at the far end, and it was just the final whistle went. I just
panned for it.
Emotional just poured out.
It was pandemonium. Do you know a similar story to that game? We were right up the very back row of the upper tier.
Yeah.
So you'll remember it's like sheet metal, and there, mm-hmm. I literally stood and watched that for as long as I think I could, expecting to hear something happen behind me, but it never did. Apart from the post getting smacked a couple of times.
I remember a funny story about getting back to Falkirk last night. So that night we went to Elliot's, and we went back to Scott Steele's house after it. And I remember it was hosing down with rain, eh?
Yep.
So Scott stayed in King Street at the time. And it was a Tuesday or a Wednesday night, I can't remember. He never had worked the following day, and this was like 11:30, 11:45, eh? And I remember looking about his living room, eh? We're watching the highlights on the television, eh? Remember what? And there was boys in the house I'd never seen before in my life. It was strange. It was full of punters. And who are these guys? It was just one of these nights you'll just never forget.
Yeah, I think everyone remembers that night. So, Gordon, I mentioned there, you are one of our patrons, and obviously we've got to thank you for that. For people that are not aware of what the patrons are and what they've done for the club, can you talk us through that?
I don't think they're worthy of any more thanks than somebody who's putting their £10 a month in, to be honest with you. I think, personally, I think it's people putting what they can afford, and there's guys who happen to have done pretty well who've supported the club over the last period when there was a change required at the tail end of last year. So there's a group of, I think there's about 24 or 25, something like that now, with varying skill sets. Some are not even based in the UK, as far as I know. And there's been lots of little things that have been, apart from that initial investment from everybody, there's been some little bits and bobs that have gone on in the background that have gone completely under the radar that you know, people don't want to advertise what they're doing. They just want it to help the club as best they can. I think the one thing you've all sort of seen the names, it's all good folk and supporters, eh? And they're all wanting the best for the football club. Eh? And that doesn't mean to say that the people in the past didn't want the best for the football club, eh? But I think everybody's recognised it was time for some freshness, time for some change, really, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, you was going to say, Gordon, you're no shy, and you were quite critical of some of the previous boards on social media and things like that. Is that why you decide to get involved and kind of get your own in?
No, I don't think so. I think, I was critical, but was I wrong? Was I wrong?
Maybe
sometimes maybe a bit over the top, and I'll hold my hands up to that, but the reality is that we're a club who had the second or third biggest crowd outside the Premier League on Saturday. And look where we are. Look where we're languishing. We've been here now for 4 years. And that's not happened just because Gary Holt came in or Gary Deans came in. That's been something that's happened over a period of, since probably we got relegated, 2010. It's almost like death by a thousand cuts. And we've had a couple of pick-me-ups in between that, like the cup final and playoff finals and all that sort of thing. But the reality is that we're just not punching it away, and I think there's still a long way to go to sort this out. I really do. So I think there's a long way to go.
Gordon, we were talking about that on Saturday. I actually think you can take it back to almost like this, remember the Setanta deal that collapsed. It's like we didn't have a plan B, C, D, or E. We just went with it.
Look, I think where we are now is we're in a position where the end of last season was the lowest that I can probably remember. Probably you could argue the late 70s was a little bit worse than this because we were part-time and we're in a crumbling stadium. But you've got to think that this is, in most people's eyes, the lowest we've been.
Yeah.
And I think we're going to kind of park what's happened and move forward now. Eh? And everybody's going to try and where we can pull together. And the new guys on the board are going to make mistakes. You know, you could argue they've already made one with Martin Rennie. That didn't work out. But I think since they've come in, they've made more good calls than bad ones so far. And, I think that's the case. Eh? I'm a bit biased, but I probably would say that. But I think that's fair.
No, but John, I know you'll have a thought in a second, but I agree. I think that Martin Rennie, we all wanted it to work. He was a Falkirk guy, and there was a story there, and it sounded like it was going to work, and it just didn't. However, the appointment of John McGlynn, I don't think there's going to be many people that's going to doubt that one. So far, so good. For me, I think he's the right man that's going to take it. So I think that's a huge decision. And I know it's early doors, but I do think we've got that one right.
Yeah. Gordon, if you don't mind me asking, I believe I asked you this when I had a few beers in me. What do you get in return for being a patron? What do you get back?
Nothing.
Just no, for I'm the
not, No, I'm not in. We're not in for it for anything. There's nothing, we're not in it for anything. Eh? I just want to see my team win, eh?
Yeah.
I want to see, I guess when I really started supporting the club was the, kind of remember the early 70s when Willie Cunningham was, I remember, this is a funny story, it's stupid things you remember, eh? And I remember playing outside in my bike and my dad running down the driveway saying, Willie Cunningham's turned down Scotland, and that's back in the early 70s, eh? And you think, and Alec Ferguson was playing the club and we had a good side then from there it went pretty much downhill till Willie Lamont came in and got us up and then mid-80s and then went back down, and it was only really that 5 years under Jeffries where I think we punched it away, and then when obviously Yogi got the helm in sort of 2003, 2004, whatever, we had those 5 or 6 years in the Premier League. But outside of those years, most of the time Floating Falk has been pretty grim fair.
So obviously the patrons get two positions on the board. Any ambition to take up one of those positions at some point, Gordon?
No.
Nah.
Only because I live, well, not only because, but I live south of the border. I'm 250 miles away. I think if you're going to work on the board, I think you've got to get your hands dirty. You know, I think you've got to be, you know, I know that when they advertised the positions recently through the FSS, they said you probably have to commit so many hours a week.
Yeah.
I think that's only fair, really. And it's not been any other than fair on the football club. You know, it's a football club that counts here. And I think ultimately, how's Falkirk going to turn around? It's going to turn around by people rolling their sleeves up, pulling the thing together, and John McGlynn, supporting John McGlynn to get the best pool of players on the park that we possibly can get.
Do you know that definitely did come across last week with Stuart and Pablo on the call, Gordon. The fact that Nigel and Duggar are obviously doing so many hours, and I know from chatting to them as well, Kenny and Keith are doing likewise. So it does sound like a proper, almost an extra full time job that they've gone on, but it needs done, doesn't it?
Well, I think it probably needs two or three other bodies as well, if I'm honest. And you know, there's been a bits and bobs of patrons involved and helping getting a little curse off the ground, and you know, there's been other one or two bits and bobs that have got involved. The people who are patrons just helping out, but that's all it is. It's a help out. The patrons have elected two people on the board. They're there for 2 years. If these guys want to re-stand and everybody thinks they're doing a good job, I'm sure the patrons will vote them on again. If they think they're doing a crap job, they'll get voted off, you know, at the end of the day. Yeah. So look out, Kenny and Keith, yes.
do you think we need a chairman, Gordon? Yeah, I mean, obviously, we don't have that kind of current setup. Do you think we need a chairman? So, because it seems, obviously, from the outside looking in, obviously, a lot of work going in there. Do you think you need someone at the helm there to kind of steer the ship a wee bit?
I think there's two sides to that story, and isn't there? And I think my understanding is that they want to make decisions on a collective basis, and that a figurehead, you know, they don't really want the chairman to be them. I'm just like a mouthpiece that's just there as somebody who's there with a blazer on the suit, you know. But I think possibly on balance, I think we should have a chairman. But I'm not too hung up on it, if I'm honest. Not too hung up on it. I don't know what you guys' thoughts are. Does it really matter if the communications are coming in well and the team's doing well? Does it really matter? The communication's been pretty good.
We're just looking for someone to lynch Gordon when it all goes wrong. That's what we're looking for.
Oh, well, I'll vote for Keith.
Well, listen, I know Keith watched episode one, so I'll be interested to see what he says after that.
Sorry, Keith.
My personal point is I agree with you. I don't think we do need one. I think as long as it's working what we have in place, then I don't think there is a need. I think if we were losing our way and decisions weren't being made decisively, but that doesn't seem to be the case. One thing you mentioned, Gordon, you mentioned about Little Kerse there, obviously, which I know is now a sort of private business. I think it's a Falkirk, I'm sure it's a Falkirk fan that owns the place, but is there scope there that we can maybe have something from a Falkirk perspective permanently there, or is that...
Well, I'm not 100% sure, really. I think they've trained there pre-season. I don't know what the longer-term plans are. I think that's something that would have to come directly from the guys in the boardroom, really. I don't think I know a hell of a lot more than the common guard or punter. I don't think it's a huge financial strain on us, from what I understand, which is good. But I think the issues with the pitch, which is near the end of its life, and I know you mentioned this last week, the irony is we've had loads of injuries training on grass, but I think longer term it probably will be beneficial training on grass, I think.
Yeah.
And I personally would rather we went back to a grass pitch, if I'm honest. That's me personally, but I'm an old fogey.
As well as being a patron, Gordon, we've got to mention you were part of the legendary Too Near the Keeker group that used to come on and entertainers at Broadville. For all the younger listeners, these guys used to dress up. It was usually the last game of the season, Gordon, wasn't it?
It was a calm mixture, Johnny. The very first one The very first one was about an Easter time. And the reason I remember, I actually was in Blackpool that weekend for some reason, some sort of stag do or something. Eh? And the very first one was when they dressed up as the old players from the...
That was brilliant. That's my...
The old players from the 1900s.
Yeah. You're doing all the exercises inside the park and all that. It was brilliant, absolutely brilliant.
I think they got all the gear out the BP or something. It was all the underwear for the BP and all the Doc Martin boots on. And I never forget the photograph where Davy Leask, who was the goalkeeper, was standing and there was with his arm like that. Can't really see it. And there wasn't a ball there. All these handlebar moustaches and big long cigars and all sorts. It was a bit of a screamy, but it we did all sorts of, do you know this is true? They never lost a half-time challenge.
Did you not?
Never.
Incredible. John, I don't know if you remember, but we played, our group of pals, we played too near the kicker, one of the games. It was when yous were dressed, let me think, was it when yous were dressed up as like the royal family?
Oh, goodness me. That would go down well now, wouldn't it?
Who was dressed as Andrew?
Guilty.
Oh, wow.
And I'll never forget it because we were up the stairs. Do you remember behind the Brockville main stand, you had the changing rooms for the AstroTurf? So we're upstairs, and I think it was maybe Jim Hendry or Crawford, or somebody like Crawford Babs or Jim Hendry. They came up and says, right, you need to go and get changed. So we're all getting changed into like our Falkirk strips at the time, whatever it was. And then I don't think I knew them well enough then. Obviously, we talk about it now in the pub, but I remember just looking around going, they're wearing, that's the Queen. And it was just like so surreal. And then we're walking out, because obviously you have to go out and then you go through the main entrance at Brockville. And then they put us, you know, like just beside the dugouts for the last 5 minutes to the half. And we're sitting going, I don't know how this one's going to go. And we got absolutely destroyed.
Gosh, I believe you missed yours, didn't you?
I may have done.
We've been asked loads of times over the year where the name came from.
Right.
And
we've
had all sorts of rude comments about where's the word kicking, what's about. Anyway, we'll not go there. But we used to stand at the Cooperage Lane, quite near the end of Brockville. We never always stood there. We used to stand further up Pope Street. Obviously, when we were younger, we were in the choir. And so we used to stand at Cooperage Lane. And with about 15 minutes to go, they'd always open the gates. And a lot of the guys from the main stand, especially the old boys, would come down and stand in the come into the Cooperage Lane gate before the end of the game and watch the last 10, 15 minutes from that so they could get out quicker. Mm. And I remember the game distinctly. We're playing Stirling Albion, right? And Martin Corrigan did one of his mazy runs down the right wing, beat three players, right? And launched this cross into the box. And the goalie came and took the cross. Great run and horrific cross here. The goalie just came and took it there. So one of the boys was a boy called John Mackay. Now, I would assume John will be half passed on, but he was a fairly old lad then, eh? But John had his false teeth, right? Right? And they waggled. These false teeth waggled, eh? So he went, fuck's sake, Corrigan, that's Junior the Kiki. And the teeth all waggled. And we'd all had a good drink and we all collapsed and that, so that's where the name came from.
Well, boys, I think we've put it off long enough. Will we talk about the game on Saturday?
Yeah.
Right, let's go for it then. One change for Falkirk after the Clyde game, McGilfy going out, Nesbitt coming in. We'll get into that in a wee bit. Gordon, let's come to you first. What did you make of it?
It's a game we'd have lost last season. It's a game we'd have looked like losing, in my opinion. I don't think it's quite as bad as some people have made out. If you look back, we probably made their goalkeeper had three saves. Our goalkeeper never had a save. But it needs to be better, eh? Let's be honest, going forward, it does need to be better. And giving away possession too cheaply, you know, making the wrong decisions in the final third. But defensively, we look rock solid. And we've got to remember is that he hasn't got his central defensive partnership yet. So I'm encouraged that we're not going to lose many games. Funnily enough, we came out of hospitality on Saturday, and just as we were coming out, John McGlynn came out, and he actually said he actually knows he knows that he needs to try and get that forward four sorted out. Now, whether that's different personnel or whether that's different formation or whatever, you know, he never sort of expanded on that. But I think so. A game we would have lost last season, disappointed in, we can play better, but I don't think we ever looked like losing the game, and Cole Donaldson was superb.
Yeah. Ross, having sat next to you for the whole match, I know you've got your opinions on this match.
My opinion at the time, and then probably for a couple hours after it, was that I thought that was the poorest we'd played since the start of pre-season, but probably on reflection, I watched the highlights back as well. We did have a few chances, as Gordon says. It was really, really poor decision making. I think Morrison was culpable. Nesbitt was culpable for some really, really poor decision making. However, on retrospect, I don't know if it was quite as bad as it was. I think the Bonnie Ring game was probably in hindsight, probably the poorest we played, because we just never got going that night. As Gordon said, I think there was a lot of misplaced passes on Saturday, which was probably my frustration, because we'd played so well in a lot of the games, especially at home. And I know even John McGlynn talks back about the first 45 minutes against Hibs, but everything just worked, and we didn't seem to click on Saturday. And that was a frustration, because I think the game was there for winning. As Gordon says, we never looked like losing at all.
When Trows had their chances... There was one chance in particular right in front of the goalkeeper that should have scored.
Yeah, but Nesbitt should have busted it in the first half.
Yeah. Do you think Craig McGuffey was a bit unlucky getting dropped out, especially obviously scoring the free kick and Nesbitt coming straight back in?
I'll say it, because I think Gordon's thinking it. I don't think either are good enough to be in the starting 11, to be honest. But if you were picking one of the two just now, I'd probably have had McGuffey playing instead of Nesbitt, but I don't think either are good enough to be in a winning Falkirk team.
Really? I mean, the thing is, I think you can probably bunch, and this is me being critical, of Callum Morrison and Nesbitt into the same kind of thing. I mean, you can see there's footballers in there. There's absolute footballers in there. But you can also see why they've not made it at a level which they should be at, because they are two of the most frustrating players. And having them both in the side at the same time, it frustrates the life of me. I made this analogy on Saturday, right? Fuck going to a restaurant, right, with Callum Morrison and Aidan Nesbitt, right? Because do you know what would happen, right? You'd be looking at the menu, and those would be the two that would be sitting looking at the menu, right, and going, oh, I don't know what to have. I can't even make a decision. Oh, should I have the chicken or the steak? Oh, I'll have the steak, but I'm having that in a couple of days' time. Oh, no, I'll have the chicken. And you'd be sitting making, the way I'd be sitting and waiting for them to make a decision, right? And then, you know what? They would choose it and go, oh, do you know what? I'll have the steak, right? And then you've ordered the chicken, right? And the steak arrives and you go, oh, I wish I'd ordered the chicken. And that's the kind of players that those two are at. Their decision-making is absolutely terrible. It's just screaming out. When you shoot, they cross. When they cross, they shoot. It's like, ah!
Do you not think there's a little bit of a, and I'm going to maybe cut them a wee bit of slack here, a little bit of a hangover, a little bit of a... demons in their mind from last season, you know, and that kind of confidence is still pretty fragile with those four or five players. I'm with Ross. I'm not convinced that they are good enough to be in the, you know, if I was trying to change the team, it'd be the three behind that are strikers, where we're probably right back where we've still got issues really. But I think, to be fair on them, they've probably got some demons in their mind, especially Williamson. Williamson looks like he's terrified it goes near him, eh?
The PE teacher. The other one I'm going to pick, and this is no fault of his own, but Gary Oliver, how many times he was dragged... I mean, like, if we're playing one up, you know, we're playing the one through the middle, right? But he was dragged so deep looking for the ball. He just, every time you're just shouting up, stay up there! stay up there, you know, and we'll get into it later on because we're going to ask what we still need in the squad. And I think it's clear what we do need, but Gary Oliver just getting dragged back when he should be sitting up there at the 18-yard box. It was really frustrating to watch.
Do you know, see into an argument to that though, John, he's obviously feeling as if he has to come back to get the ball.
Well, that's it.
The service is so poor to him. Then he's going to come back. So I quite like him.
He works his socks. Listen, it's no fault in Gary because he works his socks off. You see him across that part, and he's up and down, but he shouldn't have to do that as a striker. You know,
I don't think he is an out-and-out striker, is he? He's kind of a more of a corner link playing number 10 or even somebody that comes off the wide, I think, maybe, possibly. I don't know. It's the mix isn't right. I think John McGlynn knows that the mix isn't right. I think every fan that follows Falkirk are there on Saturday, the 3,610 Falkirk supporters and 48 Montrose supporters that were there. Was your mate who was on last week? Was he at the game?
No, he didn't make it down. He didn't make it down, unfortunately.
But any room in the bus?
I mean, you see it on the other end, though. You saw Rory McAllister from Montrose, and he was constantly, a threat up there. You know, and he put himself about. He caused problems. It's just that type of player shouting out. Same shout out to the number 10 as well. I thought Lewis Milne had a very good game for them as well, but. I thought
Donaldson and McAllister pretty much in his pocket, apart from three or four flick-ons.
I mean, a player that, you know, we said at the start there, Cole Donaldson was tremendous. Him and the Kaiser, Brad Mackay, were both, I thought, absolutely outstanding there at the back. And that's the one thing you can't criticise, Gordon, is that back four, because Sean Mackey, the two centre-halves, Williamson obviously is the kind of seems to be the weak link in that back four, but they do seem really solid.
There are not going to be many teams break us down easily. Eh? And I think as well, I know the goalkeeper's getting a little bit of flack about not coming off his line and not commanding his 6-yard box, but on Saturday, three times in the first half, he came and took corners. Eh? And I think that the organisation of the team starts from that guy. Mm. And I think he's the one that's facing the game all the time. He's the one that's... And I think he must be contributing quite a lot to the organisation of the team.
Gordon, speaking of a defender who's obviously, he's not played every game, but when he has played, he's played really, really well. And he looks like Mackay. He looks like a different player from last season, is Liam McCann. Personally, we were talking about this on Saturday. I would actually quite like to give him a wee shot a bit further forward on the left, temporarily, while we're looking at options. I don't know. What do you think?
Not for me.
No?
No, not for me. I liked him when he was at Airdrie.
He was great.
He was poor last season, like they all were. I know he's done okay in the two or three games he's had, but I prefer somebody that's 6'1", 6'2".
Oh, I think Mackie's got the left-back slot kind of sewn in, but he's obviously, whenever McCann's had to kind of shift in, or sorry, Mackie's had to kind of come inside, he's done okay. He's got a bit of an engine on him, isn't he? And he seems to get forward. I don't know. It's maybe because we have been not great in the middle of the park that we're actually thinking that these guys could do something, when in reality.
Does Joe McGlynn want to play 4-2-3-1, or does he want to play 4-3-3? Or, you know, if he's going to play 4-3-3, for me, Yates, Hetherington and McGinn are too similar, eh?
Yeah,
he needs somebody that's going to break forward out of the box, eh? A Davy Moss or a John Henry or, you know, somebody. We are going back again, boys, sorry.
Referee came under a bit of criticism. I don't think he was brilliant. He didn't seem to know play the advantage. I don't think that was a booking for McGinn either.
That was shite.
It's too early on. It was an awful decision to book him that early. And I don't think it ruined McGinn's game, but because he still played pretty well. But
then, in saying that, the midfield were a bit... I mean, I think Steve McGinn's been brilliant since he's come in this side, but I thought the midfield were a bit MIA on Saturday. We talked about it constantly. Second balls. Second balls on Saturday. We weren't getting to them. It just felt that way.
I thought that second half, McGinn really came on his game second half, and he's just you can see he's the organizer in the team.
Absolutely,
you can see
yeah.
there was a time in the first half, and I don't know if you noticed this, but Morrison gave the ball away.
They destroyed him, didn't they?
And Morrison gave the ball away and just let the boy run off him and didn't they chase back? Eh? Yeah. And the Montrose attack broke down. I think Brad Mackay slid and stick out for either corner or throw in. And again, absolute roasting. Yeah. And I mean, properly. I actually saw him giving it. He was giving it this. Eh? Oh.
That's what we're missing, though.
Yeah, sculpt the way back to the half. Like, oh, yeah.
Absolutely. Yep. Surprisingly,
he's a leader, I think, McKinney.
Yeah, I think he's absolute captain material. The one thing I was surprised about, I thought we're missing a trick here. I thought Finneyt's delivery set pieces and corners was really good in previous week against Clyde. And obviously, Sean Mackey's got a great delivery on him as well. But you kind of sacrifice him not being in the middle because he's a big lad and, you know, you'd fancy him on a header as well. But I just thought we're maybe missing a trick there.
Hmm. Possibly. It was just one of these games on Saturday. I thought I'd 0-0 over it from a long way out. Eh?
Yeah.
I didn't think we were going to lose a goal, and I genuinely couldn't really see where one was coming from. But the first decent bit of serving, I know the lad from Rangers has had a bit of a, well, he's done nothing, eh? But he's had zero service.
No.
And he'd one pass from again, what, with 10 minutes to go on Saturday?
Yeah.
And he didn't do a lot wrong. He's slipped his man. Did he try and chip the goalkeeper? Or,
I think he did.
No, yeah. And the goalkeeper's come out and made a good save, you know. And for me, it looks like somebody that's going to need service. Eh?
Yeah, he's not El Guffo yet.
I think we might see him start against Airdrie.
Would you go with the two up front? Do you think that's what Oliver needs then? Just someone to come deep, he works off and go with two up front? Could you look at a 3-5-2 potentially? You've got the players there that can play it.
I don't think that's McGlynn's style, though, is it?
No.
I would stick with the back. He's played back four all pre-season. I can't see him changing. Eh? He might change once he's got all his personnel fit, but I can't see him doing it. And he might do it in the odd game here and there, but I'm not a massive fan of. You've got to have two wide players who are really, really good to be playing that, and
yeah.
I think, and there's no so for me, but
no,
I would have thought possibly home games he could have one set rather than two, you know. And yeah. he's not really got anybody that looks like he could break into the box and score 7 or 8 goals in a season, you know.
No, not for midfield, not yet.
No, we'll wait and see if that comes. A couple of things I want to point out from the game: Ross Wayne is a shite bag. There was a ball, Gordon, at one point. He's dreamed of this moment, right, Gordon? He's dreamed of this moment all his life going to Falkirk games. The ball's coming up, and do you know that way? It's coming, heading towards you, and you just dream of that moment. You get a chance to stand up and put a header on it and head it back, shat it.
Do you duck it?
Listen, I had these on. I thought, I'll try and catch it. I did. I ducked it, yeah. I did.
Disappointing, Ross. And another thing I'd like to shine a spotlight on Ross Wayne. At one point, he's trying to slack off Stuart Petrie, and he shouts over, "Petrie, you look like a bank manager," only for someone to pop up, Chris or Pal, saying, "He is."
Yeah, as am I, which is the bad. At least I wasn't dressed like a bank manager, though.
Yeah, so there we go.
It was funny. I noticed on Saturday, all the Morton directors all had their blazers and their ties and their club suits, eh? And the lads for the Falkirk, it's more smart casually, you know. And
I like for that.
Me, I do as well. You know, it's a bit like, do we need a chairman? You know, they're trying to. I don't think they're purposely trying to be unconventional. They're just trying to do it the way they think it's right to do it. You know,
modern football club. Yeah. Do you think there's a bit of snobbery from other teams, though, Gordon? Do you think when obviously our boys turn up and they're smart casual, and all these boys are kicking about in their blazers and their club ties, do you think there's going to be a wee bit of snobbery, a wee bit of kind of looking down on Falkirk as a result of that?
Well, I'm led to believe, and I'm not going to mention the club, but one club insisted they all had to wear suits or shirts and ties.
Is that right?
Yeah. Was that a game towards the end of last season?
No, it was this season.
This season, was it?
I'm not going to mention the club.
Right, well, the options are small, Gordon, so we'll be able to work it.
I know. Do you know the only thing I was going to say is, see, towards the end of last season, one thing I know is, you know, maybe the second last away game of the season, we're through at East Fife, and myself and one of the other guys who got the football white Alan, we looks over And obviously you've got the five or six guys through for Falkirk, as you said, like smart casual, looking absolutely fine. And then there was like it was like 14
Taylor dummies.
Black blazer, yellow black tie, wee lapel, their name badge on, and you just wonder.
I think Scottish football reeks it, to be honest with you.
Aye, it needs shaking up, it needs to be modernised. So after the game, John McGlynn caught up with Lewis, and this is what he had to say.
John, a game, I guess, similar to the Morton match, defensively quite solid today, but maybe not quite as many chances at the opposite end as you would like.
Yeah, I think we lacked real quality. You know, I thought we lacked quality in the game that would have made a difference. You know, I think we've looked at the stats here. I think we both had like 15 or 14 shots. We had 5 on target, they had 4 on target. So that would suggest it was a very, very even game. An even game that no team could make the breakthrough. Yeah, thought we had a really, really good chance in the first half. Can't remember exactly who it was that shot, but their goalie parries it. Aidan Nisbet's coming running in. I think that was a really, really good chance. And I think if it goes in at that time in the game, it was fairly early-ish in the game, then we would have probably taken some good control in the game. As it was kind of like end-to-end, so to speak. Disappointed we didn't produce enough quality. We're trying to be a possession-based team with regards to building the game, playing through the phases and trying to create opportunities. And although we did create opportunities today, we just didn't have that final ball or the finish that would have got us a win. So I think just individually we can play better. I think everyone can play better with regards to on the ball, which kind of like Copen's not going to be a concern for you. But today it was, even like last week, I didn't think we did particularly well on the ball. You know, we've got to do better on the ball. We need that little bit more quality, the quality that we showed against Hibs in the first half. You know, the endeavour is there, the work rate's there, the battling, you know, they kept going. It was just, I felt, a bit of quality, a bit of magic that needed to win the game. And I'm sure maybe Stuart will be saying the same type of thing, you know, to his players. In a game where it finishes 0-0, you're really looking for someone who's got a little bit of creativity, someone who can make a good pass, someone who can make a good ball, someone who can take a touch and get a shot in that's a winning shot, one that's going to hit the back of the net. And we're just a little bit, you know, off it with regards to that today. But we created, as I say, the starts in the game would suggest that it was very even and we had as many chances as they had. We didn't take one. I mean, Brad had a header as well, good header in the second half. You know, another day it goes in and you get all 3 points and you're happy, albeit we always know that we're looking for top performances and our performance wasn't of the standard that we expect. And I mean, by that I mean the players, I mean everyone, I understand the fans as well here today, I mean they would see that as well. Great crowd here today, you know, 3682 and 60 odds, you know, Montrose fans, so 3622 or something of our fans, you know. Fantastic, absolutely fantastic. Thank everyone for coming along today, supporting the team. Thanks for your patience in a game that was a little bit frustrating, and we understand that. You know, we did well in the League Cup, and we got a little bit ourselves thinking that we'll go out and we'll play like that as we did against Hibs all the time. You know, we need to get back to that kind of standard of performance with regards to passing the ball, moving the ball very quickly. So that's the challenge. I never thought it was going to be a walk in the park, and today we'd suggest that. I mean, Montrose are a team that have been in and around the playoffs the last 3-4 years, and you can see why. You know, you can see why, and you know, there'll be a handful for most teams to play against.
So that was John McGlynn's views on the game, guys. I think he absolutely nailed it spot on. I don't think there's anything really to add to it because he knows it wasn't good enough. You know, he knows
I think he knows it. So I think he's missed out quite a number of players that he did identify, whether the clubs that have got them haven't released them or whether they've gone and signed with somebody else. I think I'd rather he was waiting to get the right people than rushing in for just jersey fillers. We've had too much of that for too long, eh?
absolutely. Yeah. And there's a few rumours kicking about still going around. Obviously, I think there's a chat of the one of the young guys for Hearts. There's somebody for Middlesbrough being touted as well. So it's not as if there's no any rumours.
There's time as well.
Yeah,
there's time. Right, so we ask, obviously, on Folk at Daft to get your views. Before we get to your views, we went to Elliot's after the game, had a few drinks, and this is the views from the pillar.
Dez, and I think we've done all right at the back. They looked different, new, but up front, struggled.
Immediate thoughts, Gary McLaughlin.
Well, we never looked like we're going to lose a goal, but we also never looked like we're going to score one. Allegri absolutely alienated up front.
That was after a player had already been in that same role.
We needed Morrison or Nesbitt to at least join him up front. But Jesus, Nesbitt, oh my God.
Alan Harkins, thoughts on the match?
No different from last year, to be perfectly honest with you. I thought Montrose were a better team and could easily have won. I was glad for a point at the end of the day.
Andrew White.
I'm just interested in knowing where 36 0-0 draws will get us in the league. And if that's good enough for playoffs, then fine.
So that was straight after the game. After a few
How many pints had been drunk? How many pints had been drunk?
A couple. It was first game of the season, Gordon. So, you know, a few drinks had been drunk. One boy was drinking goblets of gin in Elliot's, which I thought was very classy.
Was that Alan?
It was Alan, yeah, it was Alan. Who, by the way, I've got to put a shout out Alan there, our mate, who tried to get into the stadium. You know, the first game of the season, like, you've got your season tickets, the first time you're going, oh, all this work, whatnot. Alan was in front of me trying to get into the stadium, and I was like, he's a bit older, Alan, right? And he's trying to, I'm like, what are you doing, Alan? He had the card backwards, trying to get into the, using the QR code, and he had the card backwards trying to get into the stadium.
I'm just surprised he wasn't using his credit card.
Oh, I was so surprised. He's probably got a video card that he was trying to use for it.
Yeah, Blockbuster.
This was the views from supporters after the game. Peter says, disappointing, probably sums up today's performance. I think it shows we have a lot to do to be competing towards the top of the division. Not complaining, but hope for better. COYB. See, I like that. Not complaining, but you are kind of, Peter. Stephen, just some really lazy passing and control. Nesbitt will run all day for you, but the man missed some sitters. Yeah, he did put in an effort. I have to say, Callum Morrison and Nesbitt did put in an effort.
But there was three or four times, both in the first half and the second half, both Morrison and we'd worked to get into decent positions, and they just took the wrong decision. They either shot when they should have crossed, or crossed when they should have shot, or there was a time McGuffey, Twinkle Toes near the end, beat three or four guys.
That's
and
right.
Just gave it right away. Yeah. And you're thinking, oh, what the hell, Martin Corrigan again.
All I'm saying is don't take them to a restaurant with you. GH says, another clean sheet and a solid defensive showing, but we're only scored one goal from open play across five competitive matches, and that is concerning. Yeah, it is, isn't it? It's, I mean, obviously good, and we're going to look good. I think we'll look decent on set pieces, so I think that's going to be a big part of our arsenal this season. Certainly, you know, at corners, it looks better than we have done. The delivery's been good. And we've obviously got height in that box now, but
we'll get Lee Griffiths back to take the corners.
There you go. Get him back for that. Nathan says, don't know why we changed the system to a 4-1-2-1-2. I didn't really see that. Instead of 4-3-3, did anyone? I thought it looked like a pretty much basic 4-3-3.
Is that no 12 players?
4-1-2-1-2. Well, I think he's added an extra one. An extra two onto the end. Yeah.
Did anyway, you have an Elias as well, John, did you?
Anyway, he says, hoofed high balls to Morrison and Oliver, never winning a header. How Nesbitt stayed on, I'll never know. He's not a winger. Seb Ross, when he came on, was good. Williamson was very poor. Seb Ross did look all right when he came on the park, to be fair.
To be fair, Williamson did as well as any PE teacher would do it right back.
Oh my God, poor Williamson. He's going to be the. Oh, he's
to be, to be fair on Seb Ross, every time he comes on, he looks like relatively lively. Eh?
Yeah,
but nothing seems to ever come of it. And then when he starts a game, he used to last an hour, and then look like he was doing an iron lung, you know.
Yeah. Bill says maybe when Henderson is fit, he can slot in at midfield and we can move Yeats to right back. Not ideal to lose his dynamism in the middle of William, but Williamson simply won't do. Sorry, that's a really hard word to say. Dynamism? I'm just going to skip that word. Not ideal to lose his creativity in midfield, but Williamson simply won't do. Why do we have such a problem with right backs? It's true. Why do we have such a problem with right backs? When was the last great Falkirk right back go?
Kieran Duffy.
I was about to say Kieran Duffy as well. Yeah,
and he wasn't great.
No, he wasn't.
He was decent. He was decent.
Yeah, you probably go back to Davy Weir.
Davy Weir. But there you
who
go.
Who played right back in the team we got promoted? Andy Laurie was probably
Andy Laurie. Andy went in there at wing back as well when he was injured.
Until that wanker from Clyde absolutely ruined him.
By the manager of Kelty.
Yeah. Oh yes. Well, we're
not. Oh yes. Get him on here, John.
Wee Tam the Bairn says early days. Can he judge them on the first game? I'd like to see a few more games before I'll comment. Hope they can use the cup run as motivation. Need the same fight they had against Hibs. Callum Morrison for me is one of the worst players I've seen. That's a bit harsh. Bags of speed but no end product. I don't think Callum. My God, Callum Morrison is not one of the worst players to pull on a Falkirk jersey. Let's just put that out there.
To be fair on him, he seems to have struggled since he had that knee knock, that knee injury.
Yeah.
He's not looked the same player since he had that
injury. He has lost a bit of pace. You can tell. And I think someone was saying on Twitter or Facebook or something yesterday, actually, he's bulked up quite a bit, which might not help his speed as well, because he was obviously quite a slight winger and stuff like that, but he has definitely lost a bit of pace.
Yeah, McGuinn Ball on Twitter says we're good defensively and it just wasn't our day going forward. We should have had a couple of penalties. I don't really, there was one maybe, but I didn't see many penalties in that game. I know South Stand cried for one at one point. The referee was shocking. When Craig McGuffey came on, we looked a bit better going forward, but we still didn't get that goal. Yeah, no disagreements there, I don't think. And finally, Olaf finishes up with the only one thing more annoying than the result was Morrison's boot selection. Pink in the first half, white in the second. Wonder if he's sponsored by a Chewy Nugget. I hadn't noticed he changed his boots. There you go. So there you go.
It's funny that people spot at games. You just kind of make it up sometimes, eh?
I know. Right, so boys, who is your Falkirk Daft rated player from Saturday then?
Gordon, you want to go first?
Cole Donaldson. By a considerable margin.
Gross,
I'm going to say Donaldson as well.
I thought him, Mackey and the Kaiser, Brad Mackay, were definitely, but I think you've got to give it to Cole Donaldson. I thought he looked outstanding in that, especially.
He's only played 45 minutes a season.
Well, that's exactly it as well. Taking that into consideration, can only get better as well. Right, Falkirk Dafty, there'll be a few contenders for this one. Right, go for it, Ross. First of all, we'll come at you.
So I'm not going to name a player. I'm going to name myself, and I'll tell you why.
Because you missed that header.
No, it's not even for that. I made the mistake of trying to start a song in the West Stand on Saturday.
Yes! Wes Brush, bring that up, yeah.
Gordon, I turned round and it was like I'd started a fire in an orphanage. Honestly, I was so, so unpopular.
And some of your language on Saturday was very fruity as well, Ross. There was a lot of disappointing and shaking of heads going on.
Was there? Yes, there was a woman in front of us who was really, really disappointed in some of the language, but however.
So you've learnt your lesson. Do not try and start a song in the main stand, all right? You've been telt now, right? Okay. Gordon, who are you going for?
I'll go for the PE teacher.
The PE teacher.
And his chest, attempted chest defensive pass back to the goalie.
I
think right. Everybody had filled their proverbials at that point.
Right, I'm going against you. I'm going to have to flip a coin here, right? Heads, it's Callum Morrison. Tails, it's Nesbitt. The restaurant critics. Right, here we go. Heads, it's Callum Morrison. So, there we go. Callum Morrison is my Dafty of the week. Gordon, thanks so much for coming on. Really enjoyed your company. Yep. And brilliant thanks to get insight into the patrons and the Two Near the Keeker. When are we going to have a comeback of Two Near the Keeker, Gordon? Come on.
Well, I think we did get an invite
for the crunchy game.
However, there's as you can see, a few pounds have been put on since we last appeared. There's a few more grey hairs. There's a lot less hair. I think there'll be a few hammies. So there basically wasn't anybody up for it. And I think it's because we just can't give our 100% record ever away again.
Oh, right. Yeah, well, hopefully we can convince you to do it again. If not, maybe you can pass the batons to, you know, the sons and all
youth policy.
Youth policy, exactly. Bring in the youngest ones. Gordon, thank you so much for being our guest pundit this week. And just a reminder, if you want to be on the show, drop us a DM on Twitter, Facebook, or you can email us at falkirkdaftpod@gmail.com.
McCann, hooked it in, and it's the breakthrough, and it's Tam Scobie who scores. The local lad says the local fans. Delirious, those who've come from Falkirk.
This is Falkirk Daft.
So, Ross, every week in Falkirk Daft, I thought we'd ask a big question about Falkirk. It might not be just about Falkirk. It might go down some random thing. For example, I want to ask this question, right? And maybe this will be a question for next week. But we were in the pub in Elliot's before the game there on Saturday. And someone said that they hate Stenny so much, right? They stopped buying from the Gulnar just because they started sponsoring Stenny, right? So maybe next week's big question is, what, out with Dunfermline, right? But what is that one team you hate and why? And what have you done just to be basically, I guess you say, what's the word
that's
I'm looking for?
That's a good one, isn't it? That is a good question.
Yeah. I know someone that went to Dunfermline and spat and jumped across the Kincardine Bridge, spat in Fife and then came back because he hated Dunfermline so much.
Which I can understand. I've not done that myself, but I can understand.
But to stop buying for the Gulnar because he sponsors Steady. Come on, the Gulnar's a quality establishment. Maybe that's the next big question as well. What's better, the Gulnar or the Sanam?
Oh, it's the Sanam.
Oh, no, that's the Gulnar. Right, listen. Question for another day.
It's a question for another day.
This week, though, we are asking, right, and I think it's quite an obvious one, what do we still need in the squad, and have you got any suggestions from players? Ross, let's run through these. We'll take them in turns. We'll kick off our discussion. I mean, looking at the squad just now, we've got, when you look down the squad, two keepers. I mean, it looks like a fairly decent squad, but I think where the obvious bit of the park is, we're lacking in strikers, aren't we? We've talked about it before.
We are, and it's strikers, it's the attacking midfielder. Hopefully there's Kai Kennedy, who's injured. I know he's going to be another 6-7 weeks away, but hopefully that's going to be a real positive impact player. I do think we need a striker. Obviously there's rumours, as we've just seen, we don't know who it's going to be yet, but there's rumours that there's a striker inbound tonight, which would be amazing. Hopefully somebody of real quality who's put the ball in the net multiple times. That's what we're crying out for.
Yeah, well, I think everyone's kind of agreeing when we put this question out on Twitter and Facebook. Danny says two forwards, another winger. Popwinick, potentially.
Oh, yes, I heard about that. So that was a guy who had played with Rafe. I think he was on loan from Livy. And played with Rafe last season. I think he did okay. I'm not overly sure of how many goals he scored. But yeah.
Yeah, he said maybe a hidden gem from an English club on loan. Still a good time to secure new signings. Well, as we hear, there was maybe one inbound tonight as we record this. Since 1876, they definitely need a striker, someone who can bully defenders into making mistakes. That's what I was saying about Rory. Obviously, you guys didn't think Rory McAllister had a good game on Saturday, but I know you were raving about Sean Dillon, Ross, on Saturday.
Yeah, I thought he marshalled everything at the back for Montrose. Obviously, he's a good age now in terms of his football career, but you just saw how, and I don't know whether it was maybe part of we weren't great up front and it maybe made him look better than he actually is, but I just thought he was real class act at the back.
Yeah, he also adds since 1876, he'd also love if current players would take a pot shot now and then. We're never going to walk the ball into the net. Do you need to get into your positions first of all, I'm guessing, though. Drew says front three, no question, despite the fact he's apparently not for loan. If Hearts change their mind, Ewan Henderson would be a great signing. Seen that name come up a few times.
Yeah, he was on loan at Alloa last year and he does get a bit of a rave about him. So Hearts have said he's not going anywhere, but you never know. There's still, what, another 6-7 weeks of the loan market that we can utilise. So,
yeah. Gordon's saying Connor Smith or Ewan Henderson as well, on loan from Hearts. I'm not aware of Connor Smith. You wear his work?
No, it's a new one on me.
Yeah, Peter says, think we all need, we all know we need a player that can put the ball in the back of the net. Also, every other team in our league looks needs the same, pretty much. So a very difficult thing to find, as every team is looking for the same thing. Unfortunately, it's down to luck, or probably more truthfully, money. We've been, over the years, we've had it really good with strikers. We've been a lot luckier than a lot of other teams when it comes to strikers. It's just been, you know, obviously McManus left, we've really struggled up there, but... Hopefully.
Sometimes it's the service to them. Like you, Keane wasn't the worst.
No, I don't think Keane was the worst. I think he got a bad rep, and I think he, with the service up to him, he would have done a lot better than he did.
I think so. Yeah, I think so.
You obviously Sligo Rovers. He seems to be doing really well there. Craig says create midfield on a striker. Danny Armstrong, who I'm not aware of, Ennis Cameron as well. He's put down. I think he's Kilmarnock. He was on loan somewhere.
I think he is Kilmarnock. He scored. I think he's the guy that scored a couple of goals against us in the crunchy game. Danny Armstrong, is that not the guy who's up at Ross County? I think he'd maybe been at Stenismuir at one point as well. Or am I thinking of a different Armstrong? But Ennis Cameron, I think he could be a good shout out.
Yeah. Defence is good, says Greg. So is defence of midfield. No need for a right back. Williamson not the best at the moment, but he'll do. Oh really? Greg not saying we need a right back. No creativity in midfield and a lack of strikers, it seems obvious. The goalie gives me the fear. That guy is not an improvement, and I think Martin is better. I think Robbie Much we missed the trick letting Robbie Much go. I think Robbie Much was a really good goalkeeper.
It was a really good shot stopper. He obviously got a lot of criticism for not commanding his box, and I know he follows Folker Daft, so we saw that during the week. Yeah, so he's maybe a listener as well. But I think he would maybe say himself, I don't think he used his presence, because he was a tall guy, and I just don't think he used his presence. Obviously, he's signed for FC Edinburgh. So we'll see him in a couple of weeks' time.
We'll see how he gets on. Chris, we need a creative attacking midfielder who's a goal threat. Nesbitt isn't the answer. We'd be tempted to play two up top. Oh, yeah, he's agreeing with me, Chris. Oliver Allegria are isolated. Play 4-4-2. We know what Chris that is then.
Yes, we do.
Stephen, don't know if it's true. I heard Scott Allen had been training with us. You heard this one?
I've not heard that rumour, but I would be absolutely delighted if Scott.
Oh, that would be. If we could land someone like Scott Allen, I mean, obviously, he's had his troubles with injury. You know, he had a health scare last year, but if he's still able to kick a ball, I mean, he can open doors, that boy.
100%. He would be a fantastic attacking midfielder. He really would. Can you imagine McGinn behind him, wee Yatesy, and then Scott Allen just in front? I think that would be a great.
Yeah. Stephen Ross says McGinn is the anchor and leader now. Hetherington is too defensive minded. Don't need two like that in midfield. I tend to agree, especially at home. Gordon kind of touched on that.
Too similar.
Yeah, another striker is a must. Pacey wide man and the right back. I suppose Kennedy would be the wider man, but another one wouldn't hurt. Yeah. Graham says the PE teacher, fairly obvious, Williamson's utter shite. Poor Ryan. So decent right back, Nesbitt Morrison are nothing special. In fact, both pretty weak, so replacements for them required, plus a proper striker. So there we go. And Lewis suggested on Falkirk's Twitter that we should make a play for someone like Scott Allen. Might be able to sell him the dream. A striker is also a must. Ewan Henderson, if Hearts bring in a couple. A lot of love for Ewan Henderson.
As we say, Ewan Henderson would be a good loanee to bring in. Scott Allen would be tremendous. So if there's any legs in that at all, hopefully it's true.
Well, there's a signing imminent. I'm hoping by the end of the podcast we get this signing, but we will wait and see. And that's it for this week's big question.
You're determined, you lose your little player. And it's in, it's a goal from Gilmour. Jimmy Gilmour has scored for Falkirk.
This is Falkirk Daft.
So this week we're looking ahead to our game against Airdrie, and we need to find out all about our opponents, Ross. So let's speak to Andrew Duffy from the OLT podcast. That's the Airdrie podcast. That's the only, the lonely podcast. There you go. Andrew, welcome to Falkirk Daft. Thanks for coming on, mate.
Yeah, no worries at all. No worries. Thanks for having me. OTL. Only the lonely.
Why have I written? Of course, it's OLT. I've written down OLT here. What an idiot!
You got the full name rang, the full name right, and the abbreviation acronym rang. That's a good start.
I know it's a bit like you know, it's a bit like Airdrie. Obviously, you know, you went away and then you come back as a different Airdrie. You know,
what's in a name? You know,
exactly. What's in a name? What's in a name? Listen, I've got to come for you. I mean, obviously, Airdrie last season, you know, a real surprise, and just God, that playoff game. That's one of the most hard. What a game of football that was! How are you still alive? Right? How are you still going?
Tell me about it. I'm not sure. I'm not sure I am, because what followed that in the Queen's Park extra time defeat was clearly hell. So I must have passed away after that game against Montrose. It was absolute bedlam and a game I'll remember forever. You don't see games of football like that.
No, you don't.
In real life, it's made up stuff. It's the stuff I carry on.
It was
great to see. It was just kind of perplexing. One of the games at full time, you're cheering and stuff, but you're also just kind of laughing in disbelief that something like that actually happened. 3-0 down at half time in aggregate, and you're thinking that's it. But no, back we
came. Andrew, do you not think that's why we go, though, isn't it? Like,
and the hope that plus. That might happen one day.
Exactly.
100%.
What was the night out like afterwards, Andrew?
Long and interesting.
I bet it was. I mean, Airdrie, like you say, you did so well last season. And as a result, when we all know as lower league football supporters, what happens? The manager's gone, Ian Murray's gone to Raith Rovers. You lost so many players in the course season as well. Was there a fear going into this season then? Obviously, with such a young manager and Reece McCabe, who's only 29, which is unbelievable. Was there a big fear going into this season, Andrew?
I think there was trepidation in that limbo period between Ian Murray leaving and Reece being appointed. Because in that few days, there was a real concern that the squad would end up being gutted, we'd be back to square one and we'd have to kind of build from scratch. Fortunately though, in terms of retention, we've retained a lot of the starting 11 from last year. A lot of the squad are still there. So we've still got Callum Smith, we've still got Callum Gallagher. By appointing Reece, it meant that we also kept Reece McCabe as a player, who was huge for his last season, and his cousin, the captain, Fordyce. Big players for us. You've also got Adam Frizzell, who we kept, Gabby McGill, Watson. So we did retain a lot of the squad. And then quite quickly after the announcement about Reece, those players signing on again comes through, and the confirmation that we've signed Cammy Ballantyne from Montrose comes through, and you're starting to think, well, okay, I was worried this was going to be a hell of a lot worse when Murray left and Easton left. You thought, okay, Easton going is a big, big blow. But the vast majority of the players that we probably went in hoping to retain, Easton aside, it looks like we've done. So that gave us a lot of encouragement and kind of gives you the hope that things stay on track. There's always going to be a wee bit of risk when you appoint a manager who's never been a manager before and who's as young as he is. But see, to be honest, I was really delighted the club went for something like that rather than just let's pick one of the regular names off the merry-go-round and roll the dice with one of them. I really would have been more worried about that than this. And again, I think it was, I don't want to make any assumptions, but I think it was integral to keeping Reece McCabe in the playing squad. And I think his influence and his ability is so good that almost makes it worthwhile in doing. I mean, you could tell watching him, even though he was only there the start of last season, he coached players through games. He was always talking young players, experienced players, non-stop. I will go shut that window in a minute for that motorbike sound that keeps going like this. But you could sort of feel it off him. Like, leadership kind of oozes out every pore in the guy's body. He does have that about him. And he probably didn't expect to be doing it so soon, but he's clearly management material. And you could tell that even when he was playing last year.
Just mental though, the 29-year-old, that's him taking over the club. You know, you mentioned like the young managers. We've obviously at Falkirk, we've tried that. It's not exactly worked. So do you think it's going to work for Reece?
Hopefully. I mean, there's no way of knowing for sure. I think Reece McCabe will end up being a very, very good football manager. Whether he'll do it now or whether he'll do it further down the line, I don't know. But he's got a chance to cut his teeth straight away while still playing. I turned 30 this year. And I was kind of just about accepting that there'd be some footballers who'd be younger than me, but I didn't necessarily expect the Airdrie manager to be younger than me straight away.
That was a surprise. See that leadership quality you're talking about there, though, Andrew? I'm led to believe, and I don't know how factual it was, but I was made aware that John McGlynn had went to see the playoff games, and it was Rhys McCabe and Dylan Easton that was the two that he was really, really keen on signing. Obviously, as we know, Easton's followed Murray to Raith, but I wonder if that's... I think John McGlynn must have seen that in him as well, in terms of wanting to bring him to Falkirk. And, do you know... What an achievement to get a job at that, like at that age. Obviously, as John mentions, we've tried it before. It's not always worked. We tried it even years ago. I don't know if you might not remember this, although Falkirk and Airdrie used to go toe-to-toe in the late 80s. And Jim Duffy, as a really young guy, got the Falkirk job. And I think he was only 28 or 29 at the time. Granted, he was as bald as an eel. he was just as phenomenal when you see some of the ages of these guys.
It's hard to imagine a very young Jim Duffy, but he probably looked the same as he does now. I know that Airdrie have tried it a few times in the past. Sandy Stewart did it a wee bit towards the end of his career of playing. Yeah. He was managing as well. And that's the one caveat we're all going to have if your club goes down that route, is you can't think of many examples that it's worked. Yeah. But, you know, someone's got to buck that trend eventually. And I don't think there's anything particularly that will always bar a player manager role working. It's not like it can't work, it's just that it's a fairly rare beast.
I mean, in terms of your pre-season, you've had a pretty decent pre-season as well. Obviously unlucky in the League Cup not to go through and beating St Mirren and what have you, Andrew.
Yeah.
I mean, how have you looked?
It's always hard to tell from this stage of the season. I mean, you look at last season in the League Cup, we beat Motherwell quite handily, and they looked every inch a Motherwell team in that game that would lose to the likes of Sligo Rovers. But they then ended up finishing their season ahead of seven other top-flight clubs. And you would have thought, oh, okay, we're onto something here, and Motherwell might be in real trouble. But we then got absolutely pummeled in the next match away to Queen of the South. It beat 4-1. So it's very, very early to say. Even in league games, the first game of last season, we get battered at home off Montrose, and Cove were held to a draw by some kind of mid-table team in their opening game of last season. But both clubs obviously went on to have really, really good seasons that you might not have thought they would do just based off that first league game. In fact, it took Airdrie three league games to actually get a win on the board last time around. So
I remember.
I don't want to put too much stock in it, but we've looked good. We're playing really nice attacking football, and we've had really the only thing that's held us back so far, and the only reason we didn't go through in the cup, like yourselves, which was excellent, was that kind of classic pre-season rustiness of strikers, like just not finishing chances that you would expect come October, come March, whatever they'll be burying. Yeah. So, you know, I've been really, really pleased with how we've looked so far, but so early on, it's hard to say.
Yeah, Rhys McCabe aside, is Callum Smith still, you know, the danger man for Airdrie? What new players he brought into the side that we should be looking out for on Saturday?
Obviously, Cammy Ballantyne. You'll know him well from playing against him at Montrose. He's looked excellent. We had Justin Devaney on loan towards the very end of last season from Kilmarnock, and he played a few games as a sub and maybe had one start in the very last game. But Rhys obviously seen enough in him in training and stuff like that to like the cut of his jib, and we signed him during the summer there. He started the season like a train. Until the Peterhead game, until the Arbroath game, he'd scored in every match. So he started sitting in three goals for the season, attacking midfielder. He's one of these guys who, I think this is probably why Rhys McCabe liked him. He plays like he's a more experienced player than he is, like very calm on the ball, good position and reads the game well. So he has obviously started well and is a good player. Callum Smith, on his day, can be unplayable at this level.
Yeah.
His pace, and when he gets into a goal-scoring run, he tends to really, really hit the ground running when he does that. He's obviously scored for us against Peterhead on Saturday there, which is a good start. He's got that thing where he cuts in from the side, and if he does that and starts to drive into the edge of the box and then take his shot, he more often than not puts it in the back of the net. So those are the kind of players you need to look out for. New players-wise, Ballantyne, Justin Devaney. And we've got a couple of youngsters from the academy that they've restarted that showed up well in the League Cup games. Cole Gibson, who is a kind of throwback midfielder. He's quite diminutive and good with the ball. So people kind of compare him like, oh, he looks a bit like Billy Gilmore, which is the obvious cliche thing to say. Just like people like, what's his name? Ryan Gold must have got all the time. Always getting compared to that type of player or this type of player. But he also really loves a tackle. He likes to get stuck in, so I've been impressed with him. And then Kyan Gunn, who scored the second goal to clinch it against St Mirren. So a lot of the players, Falkirk fans who watched Airdrie play Falkirk last season, through their fingers, I'm sure, will recognise a lot of the same guys. Obviously, Easton's a blow, but Adam Frizzell was taking the number 10 and kind of stepped into that role. And I'm maybe going to absolutely curse him now, but I think he is going to really flourish in that role that Easton's vacated. He's looked, that game against St Mirren, he looked the best player on the park by quite a significant distance. So obviously every season you end up finding players who become, you know, the hero of the season, and players that you thought might do well don't do so well. But yeah, I think those are certainly the ones I would be looking out for.
I'm right in saying, Andrew, that Airdrie are hybrid, aren't they?
Yeah, that's right. So there are part-time players within the squad as well as full-time players. So they will obviously train less. And then when you think about it, you've always got that element with loan players anyway. I think pretty much the lines between full and part-time are really starting to blur, because any part-time team that gets a significant number of loans in from full-time teams, their players will be training full-time with their parent club and then playing with it. So that line continues to blur, and we've got a kind of official hybridisation, which I think Raith Rovers had under McGlynn when they were in this league before they come up in controversial circumstances. So it can work. So I think the majority of the squad are full-time, but we do have part-time players sprinkled within that.
So is the aim for you guys, is it playoffs or is it contending for that week championship? What would you want?
Yeah, I think we would always want to fancy ourselves to be in the conversation for the title, but if we finish in the top four, I'm always going to say, right, that's a good league campaign, and then you take the playoffs as they come. Players haven't been kind to us, obviously, but I don't think any Airdrie fans will be pulling their hair out if we're fourth or third. Yeah. But I see no reason, without having seen any of the other clubs in action so far outside Peterhead, who, again, early days, but look like they're going to really struggle.
Yeah.
I don't see any reason, just looking at the squads that have been assembled thus far, that we can't be at least in the conversation, or at least have a say in the title race. I think we'll be going for it. Whether we can do that or whether that's going to be a stretch too far is really going to depend on what teams perhaps with bigger budgets are able to do.
Andrew, you mentioned obviously Falkirk are getting through the sort of group stage and stuff like that. Obviously, there's like us, you only see bits that you see getting shared on social media and stuff like that. But what's your thoughts ahead of Saturday, obviously, against Falkirk? Do you think it's a different beast you're facing this season?
I always thought the problem with Falkirk, certainly the last two seasons, has been a real weakness in midfield and defence, particularly in midfield. Quite a lot of the time it felt like the midfield was almost non-existent, and it was quite easy to get through them.
Yeah.
You actually managed to score a decent number of goals against Airdrie last season. Two in the game that you won right at the start, 2-1, and then Griffiths got one in the 4-1 game, and in the 3-2 game you scored twice as well. So there was never really that much of a problem with getting goals or creating chances so much. It was that it was so easy to get through you and score yourself. So
it went the other way this season.
What I've heard. Everything that I've read, you know, you do that thing where you troll Pye and Bovril and you read comments and whatever, that it's been McGlynn's probably done what you should do when you inherit that Falkirk squad, is right, we need to improve the defence and midfield here. We need to be less easy to score against. you know, because at times, I mean, that the four, was it the 4-1? Was it 4-1 at Falkirk Stadium last year?
Yeah, the last
that
game.
Could have been much more than four. At times it was just cutting through tissue. It was pathetic.
I was embarrassed that game, not only because it was woeful, and it really, really was woeful that day. I was in hospitality that day with guys through from the office, who none of which support Falkirk. They're all season ticket holders at Ibrox and Park.
Right, but they're for the day out.
And they're there for the day out. And I think it was Airdrie went 3-up. We had about 15, 20 minutes ago, and I just couldn't watch. I literally couldn't watch you anymore. And I went back inside, not that you could get a pint or anything. It was literally going back in to not watch.
Watch that.
And then one of the guys came in and said, oh, Griffiths has scored. And I was like, it won't matter. It won't matter. It was a consolation. You just knew it was going to be.
I think so. If what I'm reading is accurate, then you guys have, at least so far, looked a lot more solid middle and back, but a little bit toothless, a little bit not quite there yet going forward. But you know, it's the 1st of August when we're recording this, so both teams could make signings before Saturday. You know, there could be both teams starting 11s could be quite different come Saturday, never mind come September.
Well, can I just, breaking news, by the way, breaking news, my sources are just confirmed that there's a signing inbound at the moment. A signing is coming to Falkirk. God knows who it is, but my sources are saying a signing is inbound at the moment. So wait and see. What do you think
it's going to
be on Saturday, Andrew?
Right, okay. If I expect we're going to get far less chances against this Falkirk team than any Falkirk team we've played for quite some time and than we've had in most of our other games so far. So it will all come down to whether we can be a bit more clinical and take those. I'm going to go with a 2-1 Airdrie.
Ross?
Yeah, 2-1 Airdrie.
I'm going to go, I think we'll be tight at the back again. So I'm going to, I said this last week 2-0, but I'm going to go 1-0 Falkirk.
1-0 Falkirk, there you go. Well, best of luck on Saturday, Andrew, and thank you so much for coming on Falkirk Daft. And I'll get it right this time, it's the only podcast, which is OTL podcast, and not OLT. There we go. Mate, honestly, best of luck for the rest of the season, and thanks for coming on.
Cheers, guys, all the best. Appreciate it.
Good luck.
Cheers, Andy.
It's pinched by Kevin McAllister, and he's on his way. He's taking them all on here. Catch him if you can. You can't. That is amazing. That is phenomenal. A touch of individual inspiration from Kevin McAllister. Wow.
This is Falkirk Daft.
So we've got to the end of the podcast, and we've found out, we've just hot off the press, breaking news, we've just signed what looks like to be, I'm just reading it as we speak, Rumaan Burrow, subject to SFE clearance, the 21-year-old forward, joins the Bears on a one-year deal until the end of the season. After starting his career at Grimsby Town, Rumaan made 4 appearances for the Mariners before signing for the Middlesbrough. This is the rumour you've heard, Ross. He made his debut for Middlesbrough in January 2021 before spending time on loan with Bradford City and then Kilmarnock, where he helped the Ayrshire side win the championship. So he played with... there we go. This looks
so
like...
That's good then. So McGinn must know him if he's played with Kilmarnock last year. So that's maybe a good link up there. He's been able to sell the club to him, and obviously he's maybe been the voice in John McGlynn's ear as well.
Yeah, well, I'm going to... my mate's a big Borough supporter, so I'm going to find out with that, and we'll obviously be asking for Kilmarnock supporters' opinion on this guy as well. But McGinn's brought him in, obviously seen where the problem is. And he's going to wear the number 19 shirt.
Good. Well, hopefully, if there's a 9 in there, hopefully he's obviously we've got high hopes for Allegria, so fingers crossed he gets a few goals, and that'll make, what will we call it, the Burrow collection? That would be good.
Hey, brilliant. Hey. There it is. Fantastic. I hope that is a thing by the end of the season. And if Falkirk TV are listening for this, by the way, Ross is copyrighting that. So if you're going to make a collection of Rumaan Burrow's goals and name it the Burrow collection, we're on to you, all right? So that's it for episode 2. Thank you very much for listening. Remember, we're going to be here every week. Please subscribe, review the pod on Apple, because that'll get us up the charts. I didn't actually check the charts to see if we actually charted, so I must go back and do that. You can get us on Spotify, Apple, wherever you get your podcast from, and you can get us on YouTube. See the beautiful faces. See the face that didn't header the ball on Saturday when they had the chance. Still disappointed in you, Ross. Still disappointed in you. And get us followed on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Falkirk Daft. You can also join our Discord channel. You can get that in the links on our Twitter and on the YouTube description. Get involved. It's a chat community which you can get involved in, have a bit of banter with everyone that listens to the podcast. So it'd be great to have you on there. We're also looking for sponsors, Ross, right? Every week we're going to ask, put a message out for sponsors. If you want to sponsor the podcast, we'd love to have you on board. Like I say, over 1,000 people listened and watched this last week, so good numbers for you. So get involved. You can drop us an email, falkirkdaftpod@gmail.com. Now, if we did, you know, have a sponsor, let's just say we've mentioned that, in fact, they should be paying us money. We've mentioned Elliot's quite a few times during this podcast. But if Elliot's were to sponsor us, Ross, how would we sell Elliot's to the Falkirk Daft listeners?
Oh, right, okay. So if the Grey Motel, Elliot's, are happy to sponsor us, they would obviously get their logos absolutely everywhere on the podcast advertisements and on the screen. However, in terms of what our amazing viewers and listeners would get at Elliot's, so a fine selection of cold beers and gin, wines, two pillars as you walk in, fantastic for standing at, the best beer garden in Falkirk. And do you know what? Good food as well. Not that we tend to eat in there, but you see a lot of people that do. And
no one complains. Everyone has looks like they're having a fantastic time at Elliot's. Bands on every now and again. A right good atmosphere and a great good pub. There we go. So that's the kind of advert you're going to get from us, you know what I mean? So drop us an email, get involved, falkirkdaftpod@gmail.com. Right, Airdrie next, Ross, what are we thinking? You're thinking 2-1?
No, I'm going 1-0.
1-0, you're going 1-0.
What are you thinking?
After Saturday, I would be confident, but...
New sign-in,
my head is probably saying 1-1. But we'll go with a heart and we'll say 3-0 Falkirk.
Oh, that would be good. Maybe a goal or two in the Burrell collection, you never know.
There we go. You're going to keep using that, aren't you? Keep using that. Listen, brilliant. Thank you very much for listening to Falkirk Daft. And until next time, Ross, what do we say?
Expect the unexpected.